Gotcha. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree for November 20th. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Thank you for spending time with me again. I wasn't going to do a commentary this week, but world events caught up with me once again, and I had to put something together for my own sanity. There's a lot of news about Trump's government picks, news about the U.S. green-lighting missile launches into Western Australia, Western Russia, plus a couple of other things that beg for attention. And then to wrap things up, I've got another chapter from Michael Campy's The Priest to kind of give you an idea of what things are going to look like eventually. So let's talk about what's going on this week. Again, I've been thinking about all this stuff, and let's kind of go with what we know. First of all, Trump's picks for his cabinet. Now, everybody and their brother, every bit of journalism, media, you name it, they're talking about this, all about his crazy people that he's, you know, somewhat crazy people that he's picking for his administration, cabinet, and so on and so forth. And everybody's talking about how bad all the chaos is they're going to cause. And I want to offer up another theory. What if all of this was deliberate? What if Trump has figured out a way to satisfy his Zionist mega donors without compromising the government too much? Think about it. What if he knows that people like Huckabee, Hegseth, Stefanik, and others won't make it past the Senate confirmations? That this is all a ploy to keep the campaign money from the Zionist donors by using the excuse that he did his best to pick the people that met their standards towards Israel, but the Senate said no. That lets him off the hook with his donors, and he gets to resubmit names of people later who he really wants in his administration. Now, again, this is all just theory. He took his sweet time last term to make his selections, so why is he so anxious to get the names of these new ones out so quickly? I offer everyone that this may be a shell game for him to run off with millions of dollars in campaign funds while he sets up a second roster of names that won't come out until the last minute in late January, just like last time. This second list won't be nearly so controversial. It may likely have some surprises for everyone. That's his style, and we should have learned this by now. Instead, mainstream media is taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker, as usual. In other news from around the world, countries are running scared of the United States once again. This time, it's over the real estate over our heads. The space race is on once again, only with deadlier consequences. China is accelerating their space program with trips to the moon and launching ever more sophisticated satellites overhead. India wants to get on in the game by launching their own program, but apparently the U.S. doesn't like the competition. No surprise there. So now these countries with aspirations to have a presence in Earth's orbit are conducting war games for space warfare. India is the latest country to start doing this. They're afraid that the U.S. will shoot down their satellites and are starting to prepare for a space war. Is this the future of space in our solar system? Nation states launching their own killer satellites and spaceships capable of taking out other countries' spacefaring assets? As if humans didn't have enough traditional warfare taking place on the ground, they are now wargaming space wars above our heads. Speaking of wars, there's been a lot of news about the war in Ukraine this week. Scholz has called to Putin, rumors of a possible negotiation starting soon, Trudeau from Canada backing Scholz for the phone call, and all kinds of other news. What I found is an article from RT News in Russia about the U.S. Pentagon Inspector General's office warning of corruption by the Ukrainians regarding all those billions that have been sent over there and will be sent to them to fight the war. Another $7.1 billion, according to some other news stories. Apparently, several billion dollars have been lost over the last nearly 3 years. One report noted that the U.S. European Command siphoned off over $1 billion for themselves. But the majority of the losses are from corrupt Ukraine politicians who have run off of the money. Imagine that. Why is it that the American government can't seem to manage their money very well, losing billions of taxpayer money to corrupt defense contractors in Afghanistan and Iraq during the Bush wars, to losing billions to corrupt Ukrainian politicians? It's no wonder that the U.S. national debt has topped $36 trillion here as of this weekend. Given how they are so bent on sending money to Ukraine to fight the Russians, it's no wonder they have lost several billions of dollars to corruption. It's a good example of how the United States is going to fall. They'll be unable to pay their debts soon, and Donald Trump will likely have a big hand in that. He has nothing to lose at this point in his life. He can afford to watch the country go under, as he will have amassed enough money to set his children and future generations of Trumps for a long time to come, all at the expense of the American taxpayers. An article from The Guardian gives us a clue on how he plans to govern, much like he told us he would during his campaign, a revenge tour. He's suing media corporations that wrote stories maligning him. He has said he will take to courts any dissenters and even put them in jail if he can weaponize the AG, the Attorney General's office. I doubt it will be run by someone but the likes of Matt Gaetz, but probably someone else equally in the hip pocket of Trump. Trump has only taken on loyalists. If we thought things couldn't get any worse, I tell you, stand by. This horror funhouse is only just getting started. If we didn't have more evidence of the fleecing of America, we have an article from RT News about an interview with Deputy Minister Medvedev. Former Russian president is telling everyone that the only reason the U.S. is pushing so hard in Ukraine is for the natural resources they want for themselves and their Western European allies, to be doled out like candy for favors rendered. He says something in the interview that I always tell people, it's all about the money, stupid. U.S. corporations are pushing their political lackeys to win the war in Ukraine in order to exploit the trillions of dollars, Senator Lindsey Graham's words, worth of mineral ores and other commodities for themselves. The corporations could care less if the U.S. defaults in their debts, as they win either way. If NATO can win in Ukraine, it will secure all those resources for them. BlackRock has supposedly secured agricultural contracts. Mining companies are waiting the wings for lithium and other minerals. The U.S. fossil and fuel industry has taken up contracts to exploit oil reserves in the Donbass area and other areas, plus the offshore Crimea. So do you see a pattern here? It's always about the money and who can control the most in this day and age. Nation states are just a means to an end to help the corporations make more insane profits at the expense of everyone else. In this case, millions of people are dying over this stuff. In breaking news from Sunday, Biden has changed course and is allowing Ukraine to launch American-made long-range missiles into the Kursk region to curb Russian forces and so-called North Koreans. As I mentioned before, supposedly there's 10,000 North Korean troops over there in the Kursk region of Russia there to learn how to fight a war. So this story came out according to the New York Times and now a lot of others. I mean, it's breaking news all over the world. Russia has said multiple times that this is a big red line for them. If NATO fires any missiles into Mother Russia, they will retaliate against known NATO assets in the region. This means that any operators of the HIMARS launchers will now be targets, no matter their nationality. This includes any Americans on the ground assisting or actively pulling the triggers on these launchers. Is this what Biden wants? More Americans coming home in body bags? He caught hell for the 17 dead during the botched exfil from Kabul back a couple years ago. All for winning this war in Ukraine. Are American casualties now worth the efforts to acquire all these natural resources? Is Biden thinking he can call Putin's bluff? NATO is going to find out very quickly that Russia is not bluffing. They do have and will use whatever is necessary in their arsenal to take out any threats to their territorial sovereignty, just like any country would do. Is the EU willing to lose some of their troops over this? I've been hearing, Germany is not getting in on this game. There's another story out that Germany is not going to be supplying any missiles for this. France, on the other hand, France and the UK, yeah, apparently they're on board with this. But the other part of this story, what they're not saying, is that Ukraine has been firing these missiles into the Donbass and the border regions for a long time now. The only thing this does is allows them to fire over the border. That you know, again, for Russia, that could be a big game changer. So the other part of this is NATO does not have the resources to defeat Russia. I'm sorry, but that's a fact. The U.S. does not have the military capability to take on the Russian army. Some of these neocons in the U.S. may think so, but the cold hard truth is they cannot. As I stipulated in another podcast, the U.S. military no longer has the capability they once had. They are formidable, but the U.S. does not have the ability to sustain a large-scale conflict on Russian soil against battle-hardened Russian troops. Putin isn't even using his best troops on the Western Front right now. If NATO tries to go head-to-head, it will go very badly for the West. A little bit of history for everyone. This is just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Napoleon, we all know who he was. He couldn't defeat the Russians on Russian soil. Nazi Germany couldn't do it in World War II. So why does the U.S. and NATO think they can defeat Russia on Russian soil? Biden's own generals told him a couple months ago not to try it, as it may very well start World War III with nuclear bombs. If provoked hard enough, they could launch low-yield nukes in the region and start a global war that nobody wins. Russia's conventional weapons are bad enough, and they haven't even been using their high-end stuff yet. I bet you if Ukraine starts firing these attackums and other missiles over the borders now, Russia's going to break out their heavy artillery. We're talking about all these hypersonics and cruise missiles and you name it. Does Joe Biden even care at this point? Himself and his left elitist party are on their way home, fired for incompetence. They'll receive their severance pay and benefits, but they've been shown the door. Maybe Biden is behaving like a senior with dementia and has decided that he has to go out like this. If he has to go out like this, he'll add a little spitefulness into the mix on the way out. Like some random memory care unit that throws a fit when they don't get their chocolate pudding with their lunch. All we can do is wait and see what happens in Ukraine over the next few days. If Ukraine does launch these missiles into the Kursk region or beyond, and I can't see any reason why they won't at this point, the world will find out quickly what Russia will do in response. I have no doubt that Russia will do something very serious to let the world know that when they say no, they mean no. It won't be as bad as when Germany invaded Russia in June of 1941. Russia pulled out all the stops to stop the Germans. I mean everything. The cost of millions of Soviet troops and civilians. They did stop the Germans eventually. Russia's prepared to do so again as a last resort. They've already said that if it gets really, really bad, they're not afraid to launch their nukes and fire across Europe and all the way over into the United States, knowing that they're going to get taken out as well. But they say that at that point, it's worth it. Russians will defend Russia with everything they have. This is more than what we can say about the cowardly Americans who use other people's militaries to fight their wars these days. They think they are safe halfway around the world in North America. Look at what they just did off the coast of Yemen recently. They had to pull back their aircraft and aircraft carrier and escorts because the Houthis came too close to hitting. Or, according to some stories, they may have actually scored a light hit on the aircraft carrier. Of course, we may never know the real truth about the Houthis getting the missile hit on the USS Eisenhower. This is how the U.S. operates now. They can't take out their enemies anymore, so they use somebody else's cannon fodder and run at the first sign of a close call. And there was another story that I read, too, that I don't have on my list here, about half of the politicians and people in Australia are wanting to back out of this AUKUS agreement that Australia is making with the United States and Great Britain over these nuclear submarines. Because apparently the Great Britain and the United States want Australia to store the nuclear waste from these submarines on Australian land. And the people in Australia are saying, no, that's not going to be part of the deal. Well, you know what? I don't blame them. Truthfully, I think they should back out of this. I think they can find some submarines, and get a better deal out of it. So here's the thing. This is the real truth about the United States military. They look good on paper, but they do not have actual large-scale battlefield experience. Their enemies since the Korean War have been insurgencies, And look how all that turned out through the years. Korean War turned out into a stalemate. We're still technically at war with them, North Korea, to this day. We have an arms treaty with them right now, and that's why we have it at DMZ between on the 38th parallel. And then, you know, the United States got spanked by North Vietnam, ended up leaving in disgrace there in 1975. They fomented coups in other countries and set up European NATO deterrence, much like putting a large dog outside that looks mean, but is really a whiny pushover as soon as you yell loud enough. They did the same thing in the Middle East. The U.S. has left every engagement they started since Vietnam with their tails between their legs, with the exception of the invasion of Grenada in 1983. I wasn't a part of that, but I got to witness it as part of another operation. They pushed the Iraqi army out of Kuwait during Desert Storm, but there was really very little resistance from the few poorly trained Iraqi soldiers. Yes, the Americans killed a few old Russian tanks and the soldiers that were in them and around them, but most of the Iraqis surrendered pretty quickly once the U.S. military started rolling up. They left Iraq, although never truly left, in relative disgrace under dark clouds of war crimes and their inability to crush the insurgents. The same for Afghanistan. They couldn't defeat the ragtag Taliban militias, so Biden pulled them out in a rush, leaving a huge vacuum that the Taliban is still exploiting to this day. Their deadliest asset is their air force, but as history has proven, you can't defeat an army just by carpet bombing them. Nixon found out the hard way in Vietnam and Cambodia. Bush Sr. found out when he tried to bomb Baghdad, and George W. found out as well in Fallujah. Biden is going through that now with the Israelis. Israeli is just an American mini-me anyway. Russia will come out swinging hard at the NATO bullies, and there may be a lot of dead Europeans and maybe even some Americans sent home in body bags before it's all over. Will these idiots ever learn? Apparently not, as we're seeing right now. Is the world headed for World War III? A lot of people are decrying the real possibility right now. It all depends on NATO. If Russia decides to just take out the HIMARS launchers to prevent more missile strikes and NATO steps back, war may be averted. If the U.S. and Britain decide to escalate with NATO troops on the ground, then things will get very bad very quickly. Anything could happen if things get that bad, including missile launches from Russian submarines and ships into North America. The U.S. homeland has only been attacked twice in its history, Pearl Harbor in December of 1941 and the Eastern Seaboard in September 2001. By allowing long-range missiles to be fired into Mother Russia, the U.S. might suffer a third strike. What do they say about three strikes in baseball vernacular? Three strikes and you're out. As I finish up here, there's another report out Monday that came out on Monday from Finland. A Finnish telecom company has claimed that someone cut a fiber optics cable running across the bottom of the Baltic Sea from Finland to Germany. Germany is still investigating the explosion that took out the Nord Stream pipelines in 2022 for sabotage. And, you know, I talked about this in a previous podcast, but considering that there's a very, very strong rumor with some evidence in Europe that the Americans were involved with this with one of their ships, obviously this investigation is probably not going to go anywhere. Finland is claiming that this recent cable cut is no accident. This isn't the only disruption of underwater services lately, and there may be a pattern emerging. Are underwater services across the Baltic Sea being targeted by saboteurs over the war in Ukraine? Imagine the chaos in Europe if data cables or more underwater pipelines get damaged, cutting off services to more European countries. There are still rumors about Nord Stream getting blown up. And I know I just mentioned that. But the thing is, the big rumor about all of this is that it was in order for Europeans to be forced to buy American liquid natural gas instead of getting it cheaply from Russia. Is this going to become a power play by the dying empires? Maybe all this chaos is just that, echoes of dying empires. So that's all I've got for you as far as news or the last few days. I've given you a lot to think about, as always, every week. Some insights on where things go, some possibilities for you to think about. So I'm going to go on break right now. And when I come back, let me read Michael Campy's next chapter in his story here. I want to take this minute to explain how you can support this podcast and to advertise my book. The podcast is free and can be found on these major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, and my Substack page at Crown of Beha, the Tree of Life at Substack.com. To help defray my cost, I'm asking for donations of any amount so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast anywhere in the world. I set up a donations tab at rss.com and the Village Oak Tree, and on my website at www.crownofbeha.com, and I'll link to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you in your country. So now let me tell you about my book. Fugitives in the New United States, which can be found in all major online book retailers around the world, comes in hardcover, paperback, and ebook version. You don't want to wait for them to print you one. You can also buy a hardcover or paperback edition from me directly through the bookstore page of my website, and I'll ship it right out to you. This is a dystopian fiction about what the United States might look like by 2031 under a Christian theocracy. It's full of drama, action, and romance, set against a backdrop of U.S. societal collapse. The story follows a trio of resistance fighters as they navigate across Upper New England in their quest to escape from the authoritarian regime. So that's all I have here, and I appreciate any effort you can to support this endeavor that I'm doing, no matter how small it may be. Thank you very much. All right, welcome back. Let me read Michael Campy's story here for you to close out the day. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, Part 17 by Michael Campy. Mendocino. There's an oldie but goodie, Doug Sam and the Sir Douglas Quintet with Augie Myers on the Vox Continental organ. I could hear the song in my head, which is the only place anyone can hear songs anymore. What a great group. Why the fuck am I crying? Jesus. Sometimes, when I think back on everything we lost, I just can't help myself. Hopefully, I'll be able to get this under control and not embarrass myself in front of our new friend. The night was coming. I'm not sure what it's going to be like pushing these carts up Oak Creek Canyon Road, but it doesn't seem like it will be easy. But it's the fucking apocalypse, and nothing is easy. Way back before this happened, I'm not sure anyone had any idea about how messed up things were going to get. There were people who knew something bad was going to happen, but none of us were able to really put it in terms that we could understand. No one knew what it meant when the jet stream got all wacky. No one knew what it meant when the sea surface temperature started going up. No one knew what it meant when it started getting hot and then never cooled down. Then it got bad. People thought they knew, and then it got worse, and everyone was like, oh shit, seriously? The sun was down. It occurred to me that I had not asked our new companion his name. Companion. Could that go into a list of pronouns? I wonder if there was anyone who even cares about pronouns anymore. I should try to find out, and that way, if there's ever some sort of space-time anomaly that lets me go back in time, I can tell people that there is a long list of things that they should stop worried about because they aren't going to mean shit in the new normal. He's waiting. I wonder how he got here, or if he was always here like some sort of Sedona god. He's wearing a different dress, and it does look like it would be more comfortable than his priest suit. He waved and said, so, do you want to be Thelma or Louise? I'm going to stick with the priest, I told him. That's interesting. What's interesting? When you said the priest, you spoke in capital letters. This was the second time since we met this guy that I began to question having another adult along. They were weird before the apocalypse, and the collapse of everything hadn't changed that. I guessed that since he had been on his own for a while, that whatever weirdness had been lying dormant before was given free rein, and he decided to just let it run. Do you have a name? I asked. I did at one time, when I first got here, but I'm not so sure now. Let's try a different approach. What noise should we make if we want to get your attention? That's an interesting way to frame it. Why don't we start with Dolly, and we could adjust it later. And you thought Tiki was weird. I still think Tiki is weird. His cart was one of those little trailer things that people used to tow behind their bikes, and he had attached a frame made out of PVC pipe, and he had several more dresses hanging from the structure and a harness that he could put on to tow it. Do you think you have enough dresses? Plenty of dresses, but I'm a little short on accessories. I hoped he didn't see the look on my face. We should get going, I said. The first part of our little adventure wasn't too difficult, and we made good time, but it started to get a lot harder as we hit the steeper part of the hill. Do you know if there's anything living in Flagstaff? Do you know if there's anyone still living in Flagstaff? I asked. I was only up there once. It was while I was on my way down here, and there weren't a lot of people, but the ones that were up there didn't seem real friendly. How long have you been here? I stopped counting a while ago, but I've seen it go from bad to worse. It just keeps getting hotter, and to tell the truth, I've been thinking of leaving before you came along. But now that you're here, it'll be nice to travel in a group. We're not exactly a group. We are kind of. A group can be any number of more than one, and if you have some head friends, you can be your own group. Do you have many head friends? I asked. They come and go, but I've had a few. As darkness settled in, I noticed for maybe the millionth time how absolutely dark it gets without ambient light. In this canyon, even with all the foliage burned off the trees, it was still can't see your hand in front of your face, dark. I enlisted Tiki to be our point person. Fuck point person. He was our point kid. He had to walk in front of us and keep his eyes on what was left of the white lines on the road. Although he was not amenable to the idea, I tied a rope around his waist and tied the other end to our carts to, hopefully, keep us from going off the edge. Every now and then, light from the moon would hit the road, and it made our progress a little quicker. There was about a 2,500-foot elevation gain from Sedona to Flagstaff, and I figured if we pushed through, we might make it by 7 or 8 in the morning. I didn't really want to stop on the way up because, according to Dolly, that's going to take some getting used to, there weren't any places to shelter until you got to the top. The kid and I had been fairly active, and we weren't in bad shape, but Dolly started dragging a little the higher we went. We stopped for a break when he looked like he was going to topple over. You're not used to this, are you? I asked him. I've never really been an exercise sort of person. Well, this trip may not make you into an exercise person, but you will get a lot stronger by the time we get where we're going, if we don't die first. You know, for a priest, you have a real shitty attitude. I'm not really a priest, so I guess my attitude is in keeping with the situation. You're not a priest? No, I just found some priest clothes and decided it would be a good idea to make people think I was a priest. Where did you find the priest clothes? On a priest. And you just took his clothes? I killed him first. That's where I picked up the kid. The guy was trying to rape him. You killed him? Yeah. Why? Haven't you killed anyone? He backed a little further away from me. I haven't been put in a situation that would require that I kill anyone. It's the apocalypse. You don't really get to choose the situation you find yourself in. Well, I think you kind of... No, you don't. And before this trip is over, you're most likely going to have to kill someone, so you'd better square with that. I don't think I could. You can. And you will, unless you want to die. I decided to start moving again while we talked to take his mind off how worn out he was getting. It seemed to work. The sun was coming up the next time we stopped. We can rest at Denny's. There's a Denny's? There's what's left of a Denny's. Pretty much a burned out shell, but the walk-in cooler is still intact, and it would be a good place to rest. We came around a little bend in the road, and there just past what was left of the freeway that used to go through where here was the Denny's. Even in its diminished state, it was still recognizable. There didn't seem to be any people around, and most of the other structures nearby were pretty busted up. I wonder if you could still get a Grand Slam breakfast, I asked. He looked at me as though he was reconsidering his choice to come along on our little adventure. Come on, Tiki, we're going to Denny's for breakfast. What's Denny's? Pointed to the building and said, "That's Denny's." And in about a week or two, I'll get on another chapter going here. He's been writing this story for a while. He's put out a lot of chapters. So that's all I've got for everyone this week. I appreciate you joining me again. You know, like I said in the beginning, I hadn't intended on doing a commentary this week, but events just kind of overwhelmed me this weekend, especially with Biden's deal with the, you know, launching missiles. I just really couldn't resist the pull. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And, you know, I keep bringing everybody the being the bearer of bad news, but unfortunately, that's all we have these days is bad news. I'm not one of those kind of people that believes in giving you guys fluffy stories because that gets boring very quickly. But even so, you know, being the bearer of bad news is not necessarily a good thing either. But hopefully I can keep you guys informed with these little things that I find, mostly from news overseas that you won't see here in the United States. So again, maybe next week, maybe the week after, depending on what's going on, we'll do another one of these. Sláinte. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it and you'll return again for more political discourse. Please like, subscribe, reply, and share the videos or audio podcast, however you watch or listen. The goal here is to resist the authoritarians who want to take our freedoms away from us. I appreciate everyone around the world, no matter where or who you are. Together, using independent media, we can resist the authoritarian governments in the West and keep them from taking everything away from us. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May the sun warm you a bit, the air be as fresh as after a spring rain, and the birds be singing to you on your way up the lane. Slán go fóill.